6.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by Jess Johnson, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, CG Atlantic, Ron's Electric Motors, Airborne Freight and Cargo Service, Wendy's, Baja Retreat and Spa, the Digital Transformation Unit, and the Ministry of Health.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney, so good to have you with us. We are today going to be talking about several things. We're going to be talking in the second hour with U.S. Embassy Press Chief Daniel Durazzo about the new entry requirements for travelers to the United States. We talk some vaccines, other issues as well, if we can get to them, all right? So that's what's taking place chiefly in the second hour. In the first hour, I don't have any planned agenda, but I do want to speak about a couple of things that are in the news and that have occurred recently. But before I do all that, let me just start off, and we'll pretend it's Festivus, and I'll list some grievances that I have. I gotta ask you, why is customer service so abysmal in this country? I have to ask, is it abysmal everywhere? No. But I shouldn't have to go to like the major hotels and expensive stores and fancy restaurants in order to get some good customer service. You should have the same level of customer service, right, in the hood that you have out Lyford Key. All right, but unfortunately, we don't. For all the cries I hear about people wanting jobs, people treat their jobs pretty cavalierly at times when customers try to patronize them. Now, I'll give a shout out to some of the great places where I get customer service. Kelly's, okay? Baja Mar, Atlantis. I stayed at Comfort Suites. It was great customer service. But they're in the hospitality business. But I'm saying you should be hospitable if you're in business. All right? You should treat your customers with care. You should take care of them. All right. I haven't been there in a long time, but KFC, Bamboo Shack, great customer service. You know, Bamboo Shack that sells chicken and conch and fries has like an established protocol for customer service, and you can tell they invest in training. All right. Bamboo Shack on the side of Wolf Road, you get customer service the same as you get at Bamboo Shack out Nassau Street. Okay. And it's always good customer service. They're always clean and well-presented. People have uniforms. You got to pretend like you're trying, right? So I went to an establishment today just to pick up something, all right, because I needed to pick up something for lunch. And I'm standing, and I walk in. There's one guy on the line, okay? And there's another, and there's one lady helping him behind the counter. And by the cashier, the manager and another employee are standing there talking about something. And I'm standing right in front of them. And they don't even pick their head up to say hello. And so I did what I normally do when I don't get customer service that I like. I left. All right? I'm not going to reward you for bad customer service. You really have to do better. For as much as people say, I want a job, I want to work, I want all that, when you get the job, even if it's not your dream job, treat it like you have a care. Or let someone else who wants to do some work, work there. It's really an irritating aspect of the society we live in. We complain about not having money. We complain about not having work, and when we get work, we show up late, we have a bad attitude, we don't greet customers, we're not efficient with our service. It's something that we need to seriously take a look at. I shouldn't have to be a tourist or look like a tourist for me to get good customer service. I'll tell you what, one of the guys who does some work around my yard, he has better customer service skills than 90% of the people who actually work in business establishments where they're providing you with uniforms and all this stuff in a workspace. You got to take a care like you really appreciate your job, all right? Other than that, I don't know what we're doing here, all right? So that's just my Festivus start off, my grievance. We got to do better than this, right? We got to. This is one, and you get light skin and famous Bahamian privilege. So imagine us black brothers who ain't got no clout. I don't know. How could you be treated worse than someone not even acknowledging your presence? Like, do they throw stuff at y'all? They wouldn't even, like, acknowledge I was there. It's so bizarre. It's so incredibly rude. I never do that to anyone. Not even in just life. Imagine if someone comes and wants some help. But Bahamians are like that, you know. I like the guy who came on my show and they wanted to cuss at me at the First Caribbean Bank. There's just, I don't know, there's a disconnect. There was a lady who came on here one time. I let them come on here for free. And she came at me with such a crazy attitude, like a short time later, because she saw a picture of her son, her like teenage son, he's like 17 or something, sitting on his porch when there was an issue in the neighborhood and we were just around taking pictures, and she was furious after I just let her air her grievances for free. So maybe we just have a problem as a people. I don't know if this is a human thing. I know I only live here. I've lived in the U.S. That's a different set of circumstances. But we got to change the way we operate, all right? We just have problems. You see, you know what I'm saying? Like the guy who came on, like a guy who, there was a guy who was on our radio station when Michelle Malcolm was here. He's on Michelle Malcolm's show. And he's talking to someone in our newsroom after the show. And I say, what's up? And he's like, oh, look at this BS or look at this, whatever like that. He's one of these PLP guys, right? This BS. And I was like, what? Oh, use of this and use of that. I was like, get out. And he looked at me all side. What do you mean? I said, get out. Okay? Get out of my newsroom. Get out of this radio station. And he goes on Facebook crying about it. Oh, I just had such a bad experience. Did you? After you curse me to my face, you expected what? We got to change as a people. All right? Honestly. Like, we got to have perspective. And we got to understand certain things. And what happens a lot with us, and I get this on my show a lot, is people start to believe they have the right to speak, to do certain things, to say certain things, and they don't. And they don't realize that this is all just our courtesy. Anyway, that's my rant. Okay. I find it challenging to live here at times. And like the texter said, you know, I'm light-skinned. There's supposed to be like a different standard. That's so you tell me. I can't imagine what everybody else goes through. You should be nice to people. You know, even when you don't want to be. I'm not saying if people are rude to you, be nice to them. But just start off with nice. And nice should continue. I'm sorry, you can call me. I had to rant. I had to say it. I can't do the show, right? If I, because I'll just be angry and not want to do the show. So I gotta say what's on my mind and what I'm thinking. Every day it's a challenge. Every day I drive here. Every day you drive terribly out there without a care for anybody else. I drive through the hood quite often, and I don't know what it is about living in some of the inner city, where the residents act as if they've not seen cars before, act as if they're not driving on a street where cars drive. They refuse to walk on the sides of the road. quite often. I don't know what it is. I don't experience that in other neighborhoods. I'm sorry, we got a phone call? Let's do a phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello.
Hey, good afternoon, Sparky.
Good morning, McCartney. How are you doing, sir?
Pretty good.
So I'd be the first one to call, but I had the same thing on my mind in regards to that. I know we're saying it's a new day, but we need a new attitude, too.
Yeah.
I noticed the same thing the other day, McCartney. I know growing up, when you had things would be referred to as salesmen. When you go certain places, like go to a car place looking for a car, there's a salesman normally in the showroom, right?
Mm-hmm.
That greets you when you come in the door and stuff like that. The other day, I was catching a ride with somebody, and they told me they was looking for a new car. So we was going up to this place up on Wolf Road. I didn't call no place name. So they said they want one of them. They look at one of them. So we went to this place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we walked in, now there's the receptionist. Greeted us very nice. Now, I have this other lady sitting down behind us. They're claiming the phone look like they texted or something. So I asked the lady, the person that was with, didn't speak, you know me, I big mouth. Can you help us with the salesman? I said, see her right there. I said, miss, you're the salesman? Yes, sir. I said, miss, first thing you're supposed to do is get up, open that door, meet us at the door, welcome us, and ask us if you can vote to help us. Oh, sorry, sir, I was a little dizzy. I said, miss, you were texting on your phone, right? Yes, sir. You can see the shyness. And all. Apparently, she isn't trained to be a salesperson or was just somebody looking for a job and they needed somebody to give people to look at cars and stuff like that. The other thing, in the long time ago, I remember mom, when things was okay with me, the banks used to call you and ask if you want more money. Now you go into the banks, you carry all your documents, all your things, you fill out all the applications and everything. 2-3 months later, they ain't called you back yet to find out if you've been approved. You try to call the bank over and over, somebody down in Trinidad answers you, somebody down in Jamaica answers you. You ask for this person to this particular bank and the loan department, this, they transfer you. Nobody knows that person. And the people wouldn't even call you back. You need an appointment to go back 3 to 4 months later to find out if your loan's been approved. What's happening with the service around the country?
Yeah, I don't know. And I'm going to lie to you, I get good service at the banks.
So. Many places you get good services, but there's some deplorable things around here, and these people say they want a job. They don't know how much people's application and their resumes waiting to take their job. There's plenty out there, I know that.
I know.
Have a good day.
All right, yeah, it's really something we got to work on, and we can't just continue to ignore it. Excuse me. We can't just continue to ignore it and say it's fine and it's how it is. Not if we're talking about we want an economic rebound and we want to take it, we want to make sure that people have jobs and people are working and all the stuff like this. All right, we have to take it seriously. You know, you get up and you sit, here's what I do, all right? And I'm by no means perfect, right? No matter how angry I was at whatever the day before, no matter how my patience was tested, sometimes your kids test your patience, sometimes you and the wife have a disagreement, although I get along really well with my wife. I wake up and I go, I'm going to start this day fresh. I'm going to do better today. I'm going to start this day fresh, and my cup is full at the beginning of the day, and little by little it just drains out. All right? And I try to refresh it every day. All right? So if you're tired and something's wrong at home, right, and your circumstances aren't what you want it to be, and you go to work and you feel like, well, I'm just going to telegraph how I feel the entire day with my attitude, realize that the fact that you have work is a positive thing, and that's something that you should cherish and nurture in your life. And the harder you work at that, the more likely you are to change your circumstances. That goes for everybody. For the guy who's cleaning the side of the road, right, to the sanitation workers, to the guy who's cleaning up the floors and stuff like that, everybody, to the people who work at the banks, to the people who work at fancy companies. If we have that sort of attitude that we are here to treat each other with respect and kindly, we'll be amazed at how different a society we'd be looking at. But hell, I'm a dreamer. Anyway, let me deal with some of your text messages, and then we go from there. says, Juan, I'm honestly getting tired of every politician keep talking about young people. Everything is 18 to 45. They don't pay bills. We 45 to 60-year-olds still have to live. I agree with you in that I'm tired of everything talking about young people. Now, I'm 45, and I've been paying bills for many, 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 many years. I'm not sure what you were doing up to 45, but I agree with you that the conversation is often like, oh, yeah, youth-centric. And it's just pandering, really. It says, good afternoon, Juan. Thank you for speaking about customer service. We need to do better. It says, Juan, they didn't even say good afternoon. Wow. They didn't even look at me. And I'm standing 3 feet away from you. And you didn't even, like, look up. And you would think when I left, that would shake them into saying, oh, sir, please, I'm sorry, excuse me. Was there something you needed? They didn't even look up. Security guard standing at the door. He opened the door. He was checked out. He didn't even go, hey, guys, see the gentleman right here? Realizing that his job is dependent on the customers that come into the store. It says, lead with respect. Things will fall into place. Agreed. It says, preach, Juan. Everyone probably has multiple stories about poor customer service because they look slash are Bahamian, then completely change their attitude when a tourist walks in. It's happened to me, and I stop patronizing their business. And the owners wonder why, especially during a pandemic, their businesses fail miserably. If you don't like your customers, at least pretend to and train your staff to do the same. Yeah, there was a place I used to pick up lunch from regularly because I only eat lunch from certain places because I eat clean. 85% of the time, 90% of the time. And I went there one day. I was passing there one day, and the guy pops his head, and he's like, hey, how come we don't see you anymore, right? And I told him, and I was very frank with him. I said, you don't see me anymore because every time I would call and you told me to pick up my order at a certain time, I would come here and have to wait 10, 15 minutes for the order to be picked up. And I can't wait 10 to 15 minutes. You don't respect my time. Therefore, I do not give you my money. And he looked just crestfallen. You know what I mean? But I had to tell him, and I hope it paid off. I hope he worked better. Respect your customer's time as well. Okay? Don't tell me pick up something at 11:45 and it ain't ready till noon. Don't do that to me, all right? Don't tell me an order's going to be ready at a particular day, and I come and, oh, that ain't ready yet. I don't have time for that, all right? Some of us are busy. Says we need to name these establishments, one. Too bad if the business suffers. I don't want anybody's business to suffer. And that's why I told the guy that, so that he could fix it, all right? If you notice, like, you don't see people or whatever like that. Maybe there's something else, you know what I mean? But you should check. So I went to a t-shirt place. And that was the worst experience ever. It was like I was invisible. Those girls chat up each other, talk with the people in the back. Their friend come in, they chat him up. It was completely amazing. The manager finally came out and asked me if I needed help. I asked if those girls behind the counter work here. Yeah, give a shout out to another good customer service place that I got, Aquapure. Right? I went there yesterday, and they were very attentive. They were very helpful with something I needed. They have a water truck that comes through my neighborhood because, you know, they do regular deliveries through there, and they're always very helpful. They're always very, you know, they would come and... It's to the point where if I don't put the water bottles out, the truck will stop and the guys will come out and the guy will come out and he'll come to the door and he'll be like, oh, did you need water? Because they usually come every Monday. And this ain't no like suit and tie dude, you know. This is a guy with like locks, you know what I'm saying? Aquapure t-shirt, jeans and kicks. He ain't nothing fancy, but he's present to say, let me see. He gets water. Let me see. Maybe something happened. Because he's probably cognizant that, look, this is our job. If people stop buying water, then I'm not going to have a job. So I'll give a shout out to the good places. I get customer service. I won't name the bad places. It says, hi, Juan. Yes, Aquapure provides good service, especially at the depot. They come running out to your car to serve you. Yeah, and that's what you want. You do realize that whatever your rant is about is what the entire show is be about. Sometimes. We can talk a couple other things. It says, on point one, rudeness and unprofessional attitudes permeates so many businesses. They're doing you a favor to serve you is the attitude. I don't tolerate it. I'll tell you about it. And leave. It says, but we have to ponder if we encourage this type of behavior when we disrespect authority in whatever position held in society. Persons who have no critical thinking skills take this as encouragement to act badly. That's the average in our country. We must be careful of the message we send. Yeah, for sure. This, it's not for the entire show to be about it, but this is a very serious issue in our society that speaks to a lot of things that fall down, the way our attitude to the approach to this. It says, that boy in your newsroom think he's Trump bait. You expect to insult and crap all over people and still want good treatment from them? LOL, you get what you give. The golden rule, treat others the way you want to be treated. Yeah. You know what's happened, too? Like, social media has really done a disservice. I think it's evil, by the way. I know it's a great way to reach people in news and all this. I think it's evil. I think it needs to be broken apart. All right, and re-examined, and its use needs to be restricted by law, right? Social media has gotten us to the place where we're so used to saying whatever the hell it is we want, and the only reaction we get is on a screen, that we forget how to treat each other with respect in real life, even if we disagree. It's got to be that. It says, Juan, it's not just the managers and staff and the outlets, but the execs. They do nothing about the complaints. Yep. It says, good afternoon, Juan. Unlike Freeport, in the industrial sector, you're taught two things before entering the workforce. SOPs, standing operating procedures, GMP, general maintenance practices, plus housekeeping attitude. New Providence needs this discipline in their workforce. Oh, you're saying Freeport has good customer service. Okay. It's been so long since I've been to Freeport. Gotta be 5 years. In the majority of the workplaces, public and private, the staff walks around like they're home on their private time instead of respecting the customers and demonstrating professionalism. Yep. It's a good day, sir. Maybe every salesperson should do the Bahamas host course for customer service. Absolutely, and you gotta invest in some training for your employees. It says, they saw you. They were saying in their mind, why in the hell are you disturbing them? They ain't got time for your foolishness. It says, did you see Madam Speaker yesterday in the House in all her glory? Yeah, I saw her, man. I got to say, she needs to probably take it down a notch. Patricia DeVoe. All that ain't necessary. You don't have to have these biting responses to people. Okay? And you need to be fair as well and not bully people. So if your standard is that I'm not going to just allow people to interrupt the speeches during debate unless they have a valid point of order, then no problem. But maintain that standard across the board because that's not what happened yesterday. Adrian Gibson, even though he was, I don't know what he was running on with, but Adrian Gibson, she didn't allow him to finish his speech. But then she allowed Zane Lightbourne to finish his speech without even asking. Iron Lewis says, gets up and says, you have to be fair. Are you telling me how to do my job? What are you talking about? Yes, I'm telling you how to do your job. Your job is to be fair. I'm telling you how to do your job. What are you going to do about it? She told another MP, you're testing the patience of the chair because she was saying something to her, like an opposition MP, you know? Yeah, I'm telling you how to do your job. In fact, you perhaps could use some customer service help in doing your job. As Speaker of the House, you guys get these titles and take it far, far too cavalierly that you were only there for a season and only on the goodwill of the people. All right? I found it interesting. And I get it, what she said about communications. Traditionally, communications are not interrupted. I do get that. But there's no rule. I checked with the clerk. There's no rule in the House rules that says you can stop a member from making a point of order. But she could take it down a notch. I certainly would agree. And I don't say that because she's a woman. I say that just because she's approaching it. Because I was very critical of Alton Nutri, if you remember. So day one, I totally agree. I went to a known pharmacy. I was told 30 minutes around 10 a.m. and didn't go back until 1 p.m. And my package couldn't be found after a 20-minute wait. Yeah, that's, you know. And you wonder, like, it says, good for you, one, because the Aquapure driver in my neighborhood been falling off. I might switch to Blue. Call Aquapure and tell them. They'll be responsive to you. That's for Christian Knowles. It says, good shout out to Aquapure, but some businesses and their best employees send their best employees to certain areas. Light skin privilege. Maybe that's what it is. Hey, one, customer service is terrible in this country. The only consistent place is Fresh Market Harbor Bay. Best service always. It says, I just had to cuss the gas station people. Don't cuss them. Oh, Carmichael out. I was there for over 30 minutes waiting to get served. Then the guy asked if I need gas. I told him, no, I came for a pizza. Of course I need gas. Shout out Rubus Harbor Bay, right? I always get good service. They run to me. Because I tip, and they know me, right? They run to me when they see me come. Like if they're busy, and I get out of my car to like put, because I'll get my own gas, and I get out of my car to put the nozzle in the tank, they'll run over. No, boss, I got it. You chill. You need anything from inside? All right. Says, I'm also tired of going to fast food restaurants and then putting the wrong order in my bag. I think fast food places need a third window to give them back all the wrong orders they give us. Yeah, that happens a lot. We get a phone call? That's fine. Maybe we will talk about this the entire time. I didn't intend to. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
What are you doing today?
I'm good. How's it going?
I'm fine, man. I want to know something. So, you know, when I spend my money, man, I don't play it. Really?
Right.
I see the kind of work the kind of work I do construction, thing like that. And I go to the boss, I go to the owner. And the owner tells this guy, this same guy, says, but you only know, see, many people want, they take everything in the cut for granted. They don't know the point of their job, man. They don't know the point of their job. You know when they know the point of the job, when they start loading down and people laying off people, that's when they know the point of their job. Sometimes when I take job, and there's nothing though. Because, you know, because sometimes something is better than nothing. And even in the service one, they need training, man. They need training. See, they think they be done the favor. They just pay money on time. But we got to work hard for our money. We got to work hard. I mean, they get one. And that's the thing. I go one people out, I step. And like you say, it's running me also, man. Keep up the good work, my brother.
All right, thanks, bro. Yeah, we got to take a break. My air condition technician, D'Angelo Johnson. Shout out to him. Great customer service. And Tino Pratt, who also helps me with my air conditioning. Call them. And they're in business for themselves. All right? And the service is exemplary. All right. We got to go to a break. We'll be back.
BK NASA and Pepsi want to bring you a fun day on us. Upgrade your favorite combo and get a chance to win great prizes like staycations at Atlantis or Baja Mar, powerboat adventure excursions, or a Blue Lagoon dolphin encounter. You can also win a relaxing day at Sandy Toes or a VIP movie experience at Fusion. Upgrade your combo at any of Burger King NASA's 7 locations and enter to win online at BK242.com. Win fun days with Pepsi and Burger King, where taste is king.
Atlantic Agents. How may I help you?
Yes, I want to know where to go to get third-party motor insurance.
Are you sitting down?
Yes.
Okay. Could you put your feet up?
Okay.
Great. Just go to cgatlanticagents.com, where you can get a quote and buy your insurance online.
Relax. Now you can buy third-party motor insurance wherever and whenever you want. It's as easy as click, quote, buy. CG Atlantic Agents. good like that. Nassau Insurance Brokers and Agents Limited, trading as CG Atlantic Agents.
So I come to work today, meet my coworker in front of the computer crying. AC sky high, you know, but she's sweating. I ask her what happened.
The bot.
Apparently, she ordered some stuff online, but she threatened with this VAT increase. I told her I cannot guarantee she won't feel the pinch of the increase, but I can guarantee low rates on her shipping fee from airborne freight and cargo services. Then she can ask me if I'm sure they still will give her low rates in spite of the increase. I ask her what but that she don't understand. If she look at the alphabet, she will see. A is A, B is B, C is C. That don't change. 1, 2, 3. I give the answer. Bye-bye.
Call Airborne Freight and Cargo Services at 377-0450 today.
Hubert Edwards Global, in collaboration with Dr. Dave Burrows and iRise, presents the 5th Annual Success Summit under the theme, Success Keys to Transform Your World, December 3rd through 4th. 2 days of transformational experiences with dynamic presenters from the Bahamas, Nigeria, Canada, USA, and Jamaica. You can't afford to miss this mind shift moment. 5 scholarship grants, 2 leadership awards, 1 life-changing event. This is a virtual event, so visit www.nlsolutionsbahamas.com for more details. This is what you've been waiting for. Success Summit 2021.
Are you on the move? Busy running errands? Do you have so much to do that you don't have a lot of time on your hands? Have you gotten your COVID-19 vaccine yet? Well, if you haven't, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine may be the one for you. It's one and done and fully vaccinated for now. Yes, you only need one jab of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and you are done. Lower your risk of severe illness and death from COVID-19 by getting vaccinated. This message has been brought to you by the Ministry of Health and this radio station.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
MyGateway is the centralized, safe, secure way to access and pay for government services online. Go to mygateway.gov.bs and log in to request a police character certificate, renew your passport or driver's license, and more. Receive emails confirming requests and alerts when documents are ready. You must have a valid government-issued ID in order to collect documents. MyGateway is fast, easy, and convenient. Go to mygateway.gov.bs and register today.
It's spa week, we got what you need. Sit back, relax, and come in for a treat. We just wanna make you smile. We will go the extra mile. Baja Retreat Spa.
Come visit us at Baja Retreat Spa on East Bay Street.
Back, relax, and come for
contact us at 323-6711 or visit us online on www.bahiretreat.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I also want to talk about this post office thing. Joe Beth Colby, Minister of Housing and Transport, she tabled the Town Center Mall post office lease in the House of Assembly today. it's pretty wild. It's wilder than I thought. I can see why they didn't table it. I don't know what they were thinking. I also want to talk about the FNM. And depending how long we are with Daniel DeRozzo, we may or may not be able to get to that. We certainly have tomorrow. I will be here tomorrow. Juan, common courtesy is no longer common. Yes. It says, social media. Yes, social media is the devil. I have spoken to many parents who have to get counseling for their children for this media and its negative impact on youth. It says, the speaker is bordering on disrespect. My kids aren't on social media, and my wife severely limits their use of YouTube. That's like a treat when they get to watch YouTube. It's poisoning their minds. It's giving them an outsized expectation to be because people are putting this show on for them. And they think that what they have is insufficient because so many other people are showing them that they have so much stuff. If it's their stuff or not, who knows, right? But it's so, like, my son and now my daughter, there are these different my son still does. There are these people on YouTube, right? Numerous people who are just incredibly wealthy whose business it is to pump out videos showcasing them using people's products, like kids' products. And these guys live in mansions and, you know what I mean, have huge swimming pools and all this other stuff, trampolines built in the ground and all that. And my son was asking me, well, can we do that? And I was like, no, we can't do that. We're not going to reconstruct our entire yard to bury a trampoline in the ground so that you can practice backflips. These people don't live in the reality most people live in. It says, one, I live in Freeport for 5 years. Those Grand Bahamians have the worst ways in the world. Most of them, I kid you not, I asked other Nassuvians just to be sure it wasn't me. They all agreed with me. They don't speak, let you out the corner, or say good morning. It says, one, the real truth about customer service lays internally. When internal service is bad, the external customer suffers. Yeah, you may be right. All right, let's go to the phone line. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan, how you doing?
Hey, I'm great. How's it going?
You know, growing up, when my kids were growing up, I never let them watch. You know, when people got cable, you know, you had BET on.
Right.
And I never let my kids watch BET because of, number one, it was a black station. And the way they treated women and dancing and all that sort of stuff back then, and it still is, if I have grandchildren, I wouldn't let them watch BET if they were to come to my house. You know, and I look at BET was one of the biggest downfalls on how black men really and truly treated black women in those videos.
Well, yeah.
Another thing, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
And another thing, too, is with this customer service. I am totally agreeing with you. I believe this wholeheartedly because I've been in the hotel industry probably all my life. And I have done very well in that business, and people wanted to carry me to live with them in the States and run their business and all this other stuff. And also because of customer service. I believe customer service has hit an all-time low in this country, different from Atlanta, like you said, and some other places. I wouldn't call no other names. But you're telling the truth. It's at an all-time low. You go to places, people are on their phones. Even, let me give you a prime example. Just because the persons on the street right now doing the COVID-19 test. You got 3-4 girls working and people pulling up and people still on their damn phones.
Well,
this is what frustrates me.
Yeah, that is frustrating. I agree. It's really bad so many places. Oak Tree Medical Center, I get great customer service there. All right. They're always very helpful. Always, without fail. Particularly when my mother was getting treatment. It says, kudos to KFC, best customer service ever. Yeah, KFC's customer service is very, very, very good. Consistently good. Which surprised me because I'm like, it's just chicken, right? But they take it very seriously. Mr. McCartney, there's a lady at Waterworks, Miss Pamela Griffin. I met her a few weeks ago. Very good customer service. And she calls you back. That's a plus. Yeah, that is a plus. BTC. All right. I get good customer service. Now, I'm going to put a conditional on this one. BTC, in the past, I have not received good customer service. Okay? In the past, I have not received good customer service. Oh, the text line, 422-4796. 422-4796. But, all right, Indira Kali and Alvaro Turnquest, who work to BTC, are two of the best people in terms of customer service that I have ever encountered in the Bahamas, particularly of Alvaro Turnquest. So for the falling down that BTC has done often, trust me when I tell you, I patronize you because of them. Still. We got a phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello,
Juan. Hi, how are you doing?
Hey, good afternoon. Calling from Grand Bahama.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, I have to disagree with that person that called earlier that said Grand Bahamians don't speak to people. Man, look, I don't know. He said he was in Freeport, Grand Bahama, for 5 years. I don't know who he's been speaking to. Those people must not speak English.
Right.
They must not understand what he was saying. Because I've lived in Grand Bahama for all my life, and all we do is say good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to people.
Right. I've never been anywhere in the Bahamas where that's not the case.
Yeah.
In terms of
when
people with a good attitude, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for clearing that up.
Yes, sir. Thanks.
All right. Yes. Because that's the expectation. We expect you to say good afternoon, good morning, all that stuff like that. And to the extent you come to work with your face screwed up, right, and you don't want to speak to nobody, is to the extent that your job is tenuous. It's a BTU. No, I'm telling you. Alvaro Turnquest, Indira Kali, all right? You need to take them and clone them, and you'll be good to go. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Well, this is Dr. in the West along with you, Juan.
Hey, man.
What I want to say is Pamela Griffin at Water and Sewage, you are exceptional. For years, she was like that.
Excellent.
Yes, decent man. Hey, Juan, but my main reason for calling you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You was talking about your son, right?
Right.
You know what you should have told him? You should explain the situation to him so he could be in inspired to do whatsoever were on his mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, I explained the situation to him. I said, if you want to practice backflips, we can do that. We can take out a mattress and we can practice like that and I'll help. We ain't got it to go dig a pit in the front yard and put a trampoline there and AstroTurf so you can practice backflips. So I explained to him that we can do certain things, but we just can't do it the way you see it on YouTube. All right? Well, thanks, bro. This says, Registrar General, absolute worst customer service. Their attitude is that they're doing you, the customer, a favor. I was actually told by one of their junior staff that if they don't like you or your company, your request would be put aside forever. The managers are worse than the junior staff because they know they can get away with it. It's interesting that you should say that because my sister just went to the Registrar General's office the other day and told me what a great experience she had. Hey, Juan, don't forget Bamboo Shack. Great customer service, especially the Bamboo Shack. It says, one, customer service is very low in the Bahamas. I do not agree with the outsourcing of some of our jobs, but I understand why. It says, as the old folks say, we've lost our manners as a country. For the most part, not all, but enough to be noticeable. It says, good afternoon. I get excellent customer service at Burger King downtown. All right, a couple more of these, and then we got to go take a break. And then Daniel DeRosa's coming. So shout out to Mikey at DC Technology in Palmdale. It says, good afternoon, Juan. Great show. As usual, Madam Speaker's actions were very distasteful, and I hope her colleagues are matured enough to tell her to stop these ghetto antics. I'm not going to call her ghetto. I'm just saying she could take it down a notch. You know what I'm saying? Also, by the way, Someone go tell Patricia DeVoe that she has zero control over what media houses publish. Zero control, okay? Just because something is expunged, and get this out of your head. Let me explain this to you really quick before we go to the break. Just because something is expunged in the house, we are under no obligation not to print it. If it is said on air and broadcast, we can print that as long as we want. The only consideration, and let me help explain this to you why this is, the only consideration that we give when we say we will not reprint something that has been expunged in the house is when it is something that can be defamatory. All right? Because the House of Assembly is protected by qualified privilege. So she should grasp that firmly, that she has no control over what we publish from the House of Assembly. We've been through this with several speakers now and had to explain it to them in great detail. Let's not have to do it again. All right, we're going to go to a break, and we'll be back on the other side with hopefully we'll have Daniel Durazzo. Stay tuned.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. I'll try to get some of your shout-out texts in before the end of the show, but we're now going to be speaking with Daniel Durazzo, who's the U.S. Embassy in Nassau's press liaison, and he's here to talk to us about the new travel requirements for entering the United States, which I'm interested in knowing because my wife's supposed to be going away here in a few weeks. So let's go over that, and then we can talk vaccines and some other issues. And if you have questions, feel free to call in or text for Mr. Durazzo. It is 422-4796, 422-4796. That's a text line. You can call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. Good to have you.
Thank you.
Been a while?
It has been quite a while, I think, since I'd seen you. Really appreciate the opportunity to come on the show.
Absolutely. I'm glad to have you here because there's been people been asking me about this to explain it to them. And I'm like, I can only tell you what's on the website. Yeah, and it's not all clear to me either. So okay. Tell us about the new travel requirements.
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks so much for having me on, like I said. And really, that's my main goal today is to talk about the new travel requirement. I know that a lot of Bahamians travel during the holidays, whether it's to go shopping, visit family, whatever it might be. And really, my purpose today is to try and make sure that your listeners have as clear an idea in their mind as they can of sort of what the requirements are, what they need to do in order to be able to travel and make their travel as smooth as possible to the U.S. So I guess I'll start with the very sort of basic fundamentals of it, which is that the purpose of the new requirement is to ensure that all foreign travelers, that means all travelers coming from outside of the United States who are not either U.S. citizens or U.S. permanent residents, LPRs or green card holders typically, that they present proof of full vaccination in addition to the 3-day negative COVID test requirement that's been in place for several months now. So that's sort of the basics of it, is if you are, in the vast majority of cases, if you are a Bahamian, you're traveling to the U.S. to go shopping or whatever, you need to be fully vaccinated and you need to have that 3-day COVID test.
Okay, now what age bracket are we talking about? Because, you know, certain age brackets aren't eligible to be vaccinated.
Yes, indeed. Very good first question. And if you are under the age of 18, so basically age 17 and under, you don't have to present the proof of vaccination. So basically, children are exempted from this requirement. Now, if you are age 2 to 17, you do still have to present the negative COVID test.
Okay.
If you are under the age of 2, so for very, very small children, infants basically, the vaccine requirement the test is not required, the CDC encourages parents to test all of their children when possible and when practical. But if you have a very small testing requirement for them,
okay.
But yes, for everybody else.
So it's got to be 3 days.
That's correct.
Okay. And that's for everyone who is not a U.S. citizen or not a U.S. permanent resident.
That's correct.
That if you got a visa to travel, that don't matter. You still got to get vaccinated.
That's correct. And right. that's a good point to make, which is that this vaccination requirement has nothing to do with the visa application. So let's say that you were, you know, you had your scheduled interview for November 10th, let's just use as an example, and you're going in, you're like, oh my God, I'm not vaccinated. Am I going to get my visa? They're going to say no. You don't have to worry about that. The vaccination requirement does not affect non-immigrant visas like students and tourist visas, et cetera. You are going to have the proof of vaccination when it's time to travel, but not to get the visa.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
That I think is relevant.
Sure.
Why, and I know you're not Mr. Biden,
sure,
but why is the U.S. asking all visitors to be vaccinated when so much of the world has yet to be vaccinated?
I think really the purpose, there's several parts of this this new requirement that I think sort of speak to that purpose. Like you said, I'm not President Biden, but no. I can speak to my understanding.
Because I'm pretty sure the U.S. is the most frequent travel destination on the planet for tourists.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's true. I don't know for a fact. But to get to your question, I think part of the purpose, at least, was to try and regularize the requirements for all travelers from around the world. As many folks probably know, for several months now, I think almost a year, certain countries, including the EU, I think Brazil was included there, a few others, had this sort of special rule applied to them where if you had been in those countries for more than or the previous 14 days before entering the U.S., you couldn't travel to the U.S. at all. Mm. Vaccinated, not vaccinated, tested, not tested, no matter what. So I think that the purpose of this rule was to regularize the rules for all foreign travelers coming into the United States to make it relatively simple, equal apply to everybody in the world, and to essentially make it possible for folks from all over the world to travel to the United States as long as they are vaccinated. And I do think that the purpose is to encourage as many people as possible to get vaccinated. And certainly, you know, the fact, like you just mentioned, that the U.S. is a very popular travel destination creates a very strong incentive for vaccination, and I don't think that that's an accident.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you this. To the United States' credit is that at least you are offering so much vaccine to the world, even as you ask them to get vaccinated to travel to the United States. And we thank you for the vaccines. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Certainly.
And all the other stuff, the boats and the planes and the money.
Sure.
So we appreciate it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that is a part of it, like you said, that the United States has really gone out of its way to be the phrase that's been used is the arsenal of vaccines for the world. And I think as of this month, the United States has provided over 200 million vaccine doses to the global community as a whole. And that, of course, includes the Bahamas as well as all the other places that have received vaccines from the U.S. And I believe the pledge is to donate a total of 1.1 billion doses of vaccines going into the future. So I think you're right. I think that insofar as the United States is really trying to sort of spread vaccines around the world, makes sense that they would require vaccination in order to enter the country.
Right. Now, are there any categories of people who are exempt other than those 2 years old and under?
There are certain exceptions. They are very limited, though, and they typically apply to very special circumstances. So we're talking about things like humanitarian exemptions. We're talking about things like people who are traveling sort of on official business. Like if you are a diplomat and you're traveling to the U.S. for an official meeting or something, then there may be an exemption that can be made. They do still have to apply for those exemptions. It's not just automatic, as far as I know.
I was going to ask you that. So the Customs Border Patrol guys don't just decide if you're exempt or not.
That's a very good point as well, which I'm glad you brought it up. So I've seen some sort of comments circulating that, like, you know, is immigration going to check this and that or the other? Happy to clarify that CBP in the Bahamas, this, of course, is the pre-clearance facility here at the airport. CBP and U.S. Customs and Immigration officers have nothing to do with the vaccination requirement. They don't check your they don't check your testing requirement. They don't check your vaccination requirement. That responsibility, the CDC has placed that squarely on the airlines, just as has been the case for the testing requirement. If people have traveled recently, they've seen that the people who are checking your negative COVID test aren't the CBP guys. They check your passport and they check sort of the immigration side of things, but the folks who are checking for the testing requirement and the folks who will be checking now for the vaccination requirement are the airline folks. So when you check into your flight at the counter and in many cases once you get to the gate. So that brings up a good point, is that one of my strongest recommendations to people as they're planning their travel after November 8th is double check with your airline if you have any questions, because ultimately they're the ones who are going to enforce that that requirement. So, you know, do you need to bring it printed out in paper? Can you bring a photo? Can you bring it uploaded onto an app? Some airlines have apps that allow you to upload some of this stuff. Check with the airline and they'll be able to tell you what they are going to accept or not accept as proof of vaccination. And of course, they are in line with, you know, all of the guidelines from the CDC. But ultimately, they're the ones where the rubber hits the road. So double check with the airline when you're going to travel and they'll be able to give you the best guidance that you need.
Absolutely. I got another question for you.
Sure.
So the United States, there are only 3 approved vaccines, as far as I'm aware, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, and Pfizer.
Yep.
Right? So the thing, though, is that much of the world has received other vaccines.
That's right.
Hundreds of millions of people have received the AstraZeneca vaccine or some form of it, the Sinovac vaccine.
Yep.
So what vaccines does the U.S. allow you to have to meet the requirements?
Certainly. And another thing I was going to mention is, you know, obviously I'll talk as best I can on your show, and we're putting as much information as we can out on social media. But ultimately, all of these rules are coming from the CDC directly. So if you want to sort of read them for yourself, go to cdc.gov and just look for proof of vaccination for air travel to the United States. Or you can just type into Google CDC COVID-19 air travel requirement. And that you should that should be the first result that, that comes up, and you can see all of the details there. But to answer your question, the CDC has said that they will accept for this requirement all vaccines approved by the FDA, which are the three that you just mentioned, as well as all the vaccines approved by the World Health Organization, WHO, which includes AstraZeneca. An additional flexibility, I think, that the CDC, I think, kind of like you said, to sort of account for the fact that vaccine access around the world hasn't been the same in every country. Different vaccines are available in different countries. So they are allowing also, they are accepting and indicating to airlines that they should accept mix and match as well. So if your first dose is AstraZeneca, but then your second dose is Pfizer, that's okay. As long as you have that documented on a sort of official vaccination card issued by a relevant authority, then you'll be okay to enter the United States.
Okay, let me see. This is a question for you.
Sure.
It says, when does it start? That's a good question. Yeah.
Starts on November 8th, and a few people have asked me, well, what exactly does that mean? Right. That means 12:01 a.m., so just past midnight on November 8th. And of course, for the Bahamas, I mean, flights don't leave usually in the middle of the night from here, so your first flight would be sort of early in the morning on November 8th. But I do want to clarify a question that was asked on Dwight's show the other morning, which is, what if I already have a ticket and I'm flying on November 7th? Am I going to be okay? The answer is yes. This rule does not go into effect. The airline is not going to ask you for proof of vaccination until November 8th.
This one's asking about mixed vaccines. Mm-hmm. He just answered that. He said that's
sure.
As long as they're approved, it doesn't matter.
That's right.
This one's saying, what about emergency medical travel?
So there,
good question.
There can be exceptions made for instances of emergency medical travel. Some people also, for example, may have a situation where they've been instructed by a doctor for a specific medical reason, perhaps they're on immunosuppressants, something along those lines, that the vaccine is contraindicated for them. The new regulations do carve out some exceptions for that, but you do have to show documentation. And that's another instance where your best course of action is going to be to check with your airline and make sure that your airline is going to accept whatever piece of paper you're going to bring in to demonstrate that fact, that they will accept that as an exception, because they're going to be the ones that are checking these rules. It's not going to be immigration, not going to be the CBP folks. I love those guys out at the airport, but this is not going to be under their purview. This is going to be squarely in the hands of the airlines.
Absolutely. Well, this one's kind of a different thing, but
okay.
I'll throw it at you anyway.
Sure.
Get back to
I'll do my best.
Juan, can you please get a number for me from the U.S. person? I've been having problems traveling because my daughter's a U.S. citizen. I live here in the Bahamas with my husband. I also have my 83-year-old ailing mother that I take care of. Among that, my son and my two grandchildren also live here in the Bahamas. I have no desire to live in the U.S. I have my home and also a rental apartment here, but they're saying I don't have enough ties to the Bahamas. Can someone please help my situation? Thanks.
Gotcha. That sounds like a particular visa case. I can't comment on those specific cases. Really, ultimately, that person should message visa.nasa@state.gov and just contact the visa section directly to ask about their case.
Absolutely.
Sorry that I couldn't answer that question.
No, no.
I'm doing my best.
Yeah. I understand that for sure.
Sure.
It says, why do you require international passengers to get a shot but not Americans?
I think that ultimately the intent is to create as uniform a requirement as possible for international travelers and still facilitate the return of U.S. citizens to their home country when they need to travel. And I think given sort of the difficulty of accessing vaccines in some countries, again, I didn't write these requirements. I can't really speak to the reason, but that is true. Ultimately, for U.S. citizens and U.S. permanent residents, they don't have to present proof of vaccination in order to enter the country. However, I will say that in the spirit of these requirements, which are meant to sort of tighten entry to the United States and try to make sure that travel isn't spreading the disease, the requirements have tightened on even on U.S. citizens and legal permanent residents in the following sense. If you're a U.S. citizen and you are vaccinated using these same rules that apply to everybody else, the same criteria, not same rules, the same criteria, then the rules for U.S. citizens haven't changed really that much because you still qualify to take this 3-day COVID test in order to enter the United States.
Right.
But if you are unvaccinated, even if you're a U.S. citizen or a legal permanent resident, instead of taking a 3-day test window, you have to take a test the day before you travel. Wow. Because the intent is, you know, if you're vaccinated, then, you know, the same rules apply to everybody. But if you're not vaccinated, if you're a U.S. citizen, we're not going to keep you out of your own country. But we are going to be a little bit more stringent in terms of, you know, making sure that we are doing what we can to prevent the spread of COVID-19. And that's how I would answer that question.
I can understand that because I can sort of understand the disparity because the U.S. is a complex machine. You know what I mean? There's the federal side of things and then there's the state side of things. And So the federal government, well, the executive will try to control what it can control through the federal government, but different states will regulate their own stuff. And so I get why you can't require all the people to be vaccinated who are U.S. citizens, but having control of your border, you can control who's coming in and out and who's vaccinated or not.
Yep.
Good day, Juan, and to your guest. I'm fully vaccinated. I got it done at Walgreens. I have proof of this on a hard white paper. Would this be a problem?
No, I don't think that'll be a problem. The CDC.gov website that I mentioned earlier notes that proof of vaccination can be presented in the form of a printed paper card. It can be presented in the form of some kind of a certified electronic document. Often those electronic documents have a QR code. But once again, as I've said a few times, if you have any doubts, contact the airline, explain to them, you know, what you've got, and make sure before you show up at the airport that what you have to as your proof of vaccination is what you need.
Okay, this says, Juan, why is it that a person who's recovered from COVID is not allowed in the U.S.? As vaccinated persons, when research has shown, recovered persons are 26 times more immune. I don't know about that one.
I'm not sure about that statistic, but it's true that according to the requirements, even folks who take an antibody test that shows that they have had COVID-19 and have antibodies for it, those folks still, the vaccination requirement still applies to them. And there's sort of a technical explanation for that on the CDC.gov website that I don't know off the top of my head, but that is true that you still do need to be vaccinated even if you've had COVID.
Now, I remember there was an exemption, or there's currently an exemption for entry into the United States for someone who's just recovered from COVID.
Correct.
And it's too soon for them to take the vaccine.
I think so.
So that falls away November 8th.
I believe so. I believe that the new requirement is just, they're trying to make it as sort of universal as possible.
Right. Put your trip off until you could go get vaccinated.
I believe so.
Okay, no problem. We had some calls. I'm sorry we didn't get them. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. I don't know why I keep looking up there.
I was going to say
12 million times.
I was going to say I'm really impressed that you memorized all those phone numbers, but then I see that you're glancing over at the printout. I wouldn't be able to memorize.
I do have them in my head, though.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, I do. Okay, we got a phone call. Let's do it, Ollie. Put your headphones on.
Oh, sure.
Are they plugged in? Yeah, that one. This one here. I think the other one's plugged in, too. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, good afternoon. Just a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
If people who take the vaccine can still spread the virus and can still catch it, why is it that you're required to get the vaccine in order to keep people safe? That's just my question.
Thank you, caller. I appreciate the question, and I think ultimately the explanation that I've read on the CDC website is that even though the vaccine does not 100% prevent what are called breakthrough infections, which is when you acquire the disease even though you're vaccinated, it does so dramatically reduce the probability of you either A, contracting the disease, or B, spreading the disease, that it's still a very powerful tool to prevent the spread of the disease. And really the biggest power of the vaccine is ultimately that it reduces the chances of hospitalization and severe illness and death dramatically by, you know, orders of magnitude. And I think that is why this vaccine, the CDC has, and the U.S. government have said this many times, it's the most powerful weapon we have against the pandemic. And even though there are you know, chances that you could still become infected, those chances are so much smaller. It's kind of like wearing a seatbelt, right? If you're driving your car and you don't have your seatbelt on, you get into an accident, that could be really bad for you.
Right.
If you're wearing the seatbelt, it's not going to prevent you from getting in the accident, and it may not even prevent you from every single injury you could sustain, but it will very likely prevent very serious injury and death from that car accident. And that's sort of how I, kind of a metaphor that I use to understand the vaccines.
I can understand that. All right, let's take this call, Arlington. I got vaccinated just so I could do stuff. So if that's what you want to do. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. McCartney.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, I used to live over there, so I really like over there. But, I have family over there, and I don't think I'll be going because what happens is the last caller highlighted a serious situation. Now, I don't know how learned he is in the science, but the CDC has been feeding disparities in the information. Now, my problem is, why is it that, I prepare to take 50 PCR tests to travel and come back. You know why? Because to me, it's worth it. And, my knowledge is based, has a lot to do with my opinion. And so the fact that you can still transmit and contract the disease. Now, I would agree that being vaccinated may reduce the symptomatic and the effects of the virus, right, Warren?
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is, you have to understand, you have to have brains. The CDC, the WHO, all of these people are feeding their narratives because what happens is, if you're not testing people post-vaccination or post-vax, that means that you don't really want to give the public a true numerology on the breakthrough cases. This is uncontested statement. You cannot deny what I'm saying. So the fact that what I'm saying is I would like to take a PCR test, go in and come in. I don't care if I got to take it or why I say over there, whatever, do quarantine because my family over there, right? And it is just upsetting that I can't travel on a PCR test. The paradigm, I can wear 10 masks, whatever, right? And tell everybody. But what I'm saying is it's a census paradigm because you still the disease is still transmitting and you're still having mutations because people are still housing the disease and transmitting disease, even though you may be lessening the severity of disease within you, but you still can be asymptomatic post-vaccination and still transmitting it. So my uncontested statement is, we know that once you're not testing people after vaccination, you're not giving me a true number on the breakthrough cases. And that's for your boy, Dr. Smith, who think only him and other brains. Blessed, man.
Now, I hear you, 52, and I understand the case you're trying to make. The appropriate person would probably be Dr. Rochelle Walensky to talk to, the director of the CDC, because it's them who's telling the United States government that they should impose these measures, okay? Further to that, for those of you listening out there, and I sometimes have to make this, it seems like senseless that I have to make the point. But I make the point that it's their country, okay? They get to set their own rules of who enters and who does not. The United States isn't coming down on the Bahamas because the Bahamas requires United States citizens to either be fully vaccinated or have an RT-PCR test if they're not, because we are sovereign, as are they, and they get to set their rules. And you complaining about it? Will not change it. And so what Mr. DeRazzo is here today to do is to explain to you what those rules are and how you can be compliant with those rules if you wish to go to the United States. Okay? That's what we're here today to do, not to argue the merits of vaccination spread versus non-vaccination spread and the rationale behind it. There are some pertinent questions to ask about it,
true,
but it's not going to change what the U.S. is doing. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, sir. How are you today?
I'm fine. How's it going?
Okie dokie. I've been paying attention to the U.S. news.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was the State Department or which one of the departments, but they made exemption to countries with low vaccines availability. That's countries that doesn't have access to vaccines. So with that exception, persons who have a problem with a vaccine, they could simply make it a non-mandatory situation, because if they're going to accept persons in mass from other countries that don't have vaccines, international persons who are not citizens. So therefore, it may seem that it's a disadvantage to be so close to America and to have vaccines, especially with a person not wanting to use vaccines.
Happy to clarify a little bit on that. Okay. The caller is correct in that there is also this sort of category of exceptions for countries where access to vaccines has been extremely low. And there's a specific number that was said. I think it's less than 10% of the population has access to a vaccine, something along those lines. But that is just a very specific list of countries that's updated regularly. Again, you can find that on the cdc.gov website. But even that exception, as far as I understand, doesn't apply to B1, B2 travelers, to regular tourist travelers. So even in those countries where it's hard to come by vaccines, the rule as it's being applied means, you know, we'll make exceptions if there's people who are coming for, you know, medical reasons or other sort of travel situations. But if you're just a regular tourist and you want to come to the U.S. and you happen to live in a country where, you know, vaccines aren't accessible, et cetera, then you may not be able to travel to the United States. And that is, in the spirit of trying to create this sort of global regime that applies equally to everybody.
Gotcha. Okay, this is, you'd said this earlier, but I think it bears repeating. Hi, Juan. Question, children are currently exempt. Will that change now that vaccines are being approved for them?
I don't know how the rules will continue to evolve as the pandemic evolves. As we've seen, you know, things can change, and we will do our best to keep people informed in as timely a fashion as possible. I mean, you know, this rule was announced on October 25th, a full 2 weeks before it went into effect, to give people time to understand the rule, to get ready to meet the requirements. So I don't know what will or won't change in the future. Wanted to be clear about that. But I can, yes, be, again, like you said, as we mentioned earlier, that at the moment, the requirement to present proof of vaccination does not apply to children age 17 and under.
Gotcha. All right. And if you're under 2, you wouldn't need a COVID test.
That's correct.
Either. It says, hi, Juan, please ask the gentleman if you can still travel on your police record. Thank you for reading my text.
Hasn't changed. That's correct. It's interesting that almost any time there's updates to the travel requirements, people very frequently will ask that question. I understand it is quite an advantage that that Bahamians have, that they qualify for visa-free travel. Happy to confirm that visa-free travel is not going away. As I mentioned earlier, this vaccination requirement has nothing to do with visas at all, actually, with applying for a visa or getting a visa. But you, even though you are traveling using visa-free travel, using your police record through the pre-clearance facility, you will still need to present the proof of vaccination and the negative COVID test, again, not to the immigration officer, but to the airline, who are the ones who are checking the requirement. Yep.
Okay. We got another call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello. Good afternoon. Hi.
Oh, I'm on.
Yes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Quick question. Being that the AstraZeneca shot was the only shot offered at the time, is that valid to travel into the United States?
Yes, indeed. Happy to confirm that all of the vaccines that were approved either by the FDA or the WHO are approved, and that includes AstraZeneca. So the Bahamians who received the AstraZeneca vaccine, both doses, or those who received AstraZeneca for the first dose and then Pfizer for the second dose, who got the sort of mix and match, both of those situations fulfill the requirements to travel to the U.S. after November 8th.
Good stuff.
Okay. Thanks, man. Another question before we go to break. This is actually a good question. Does the vaccination requirement apply to travelers who are in transit through the U.S. as well?
Yes, it does. It does apply to if you're on a regular B1, B2 travel visa, which is what most people have to transit through the United States, then that still applies to you, yes.
Okay, excellent.
Sure.
This says, will the vaccine restriction be changed when the COVID pill is approved? And better yet, when COVID does? He can't tell you. What the CDC is going to do?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have a crystal ball, I wish I did sometimes.
All right, this is Juan, just got to tune in. Are visa appointments proceeding as regular? Yeah, good question.
Good question. We're actually hoping to plan some interviews with one of my colleagues in the consular section who can talk in more detail about this. But interviews are proceeding for Bahamians as normal at the moment. Wait times are still quite long, much longer than I think they had certainly ever been before COVID. But you can apply for an interview. It may not be right away, so definitely if you want to travel, put in your application as soon as you possibly can. But yes, you can apply for a visa at the moment, and the embassy is conducting interviews as quickly as they can, given the circumstances.
Yeah, Mama's like, I was so used to seeing that line outside, like, right next to McDonald's, and now you don't see it anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Well, we have a question. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, I'm Juan, and guess how you doing?
Hey, good.
Wonderful. Listen, I just tuned in, but it's a good show. But I want to know from your guest, what are the requirements for a U.S. citizen like myself living in the Bahamas to travel back to the United States?
Sure thing. Since you are a U.S. citizen, you don't have to present proof of vaccination in order to travel. However, by presenting proof of vaccination, you will be able to continue traveling to the U.S. with a negative COVID test taken 3 days before you travel to the United States. If you happen to not be vaccinated, you can still travel to the U.S., but the restriction is a bit more stringent. The requirement is a bit more stringent, sorry. You will have to present a negative COVID test taken within 1 day of travel.
Within 1 day of prior to travel.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're
okay,
welcome.
Thanks a lot. I just wanted to ask for my own like curiosity.
Sure.
Because I was invited to the topping off ceremony, the new U.S. Embassy, or the Fortress of Solitude. I'm serious. I'm going, if anything goes down, I'm headed there. But when is it going to be opened?
Opened, that I'm not 100% sure. Mm-hmm. I know that they estimate that the new embassy will be completed sometime in either the summer or the fall of 2023. Now, that means that the building is completed. Between the time that the building is completed and that the mission actually moves in, mm-hmm. all the personnel move over and everything's ready to go, that I'm not 100% sure, but most likely at least two or three months after the actual completion of the site itself.
So have they briefed you on what the visa process will be like there? Like, would it be this outside thing or?
No, I'm not sure exactly what that's going to look like. I know that there are going to be, I mean, the building itself is just much larger. There's going to be a much sort of larger facility, and we're hoping that it'll be a much more that'll facilitate all of our activities as diplomats a little bit better, and just be sort of a more fitting platform for the enduring relationship that the U.S. and the Bahamas have shared for all these decades. The new embassy, we've quite simply, not just the mission itself, but I think the relationship between the U.S. and the Bahamas has kind of outgrown the embassy that we have now. So I'm really excited to see that building completed, and really looking forward to seeing what diplomacy looks like once that building is sitting completed in the heart of downtown Nassau.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, this says, hi, Juan, I have a visa-related question. Do you need a visa if you're taking a cruise that leaves from and returns to the port of Miami?
That I'm not 100% sure on. I would check with visanassau@state.gov.
Okay. All right. This says, do I need a vaccine to go in the U.S. Embassy?
No, you do not. At the moment, we are making sure that all of the visitors to the embassy wear masks and that they sanitize their hands. So we're taking as many precautions as we can. But we know, as I mentioned earlier, the vaccination requirement doesn't apply to non-immigrant visa interviews. So there's no vaccination requirement to enter the embassy. And I did want to clarify, just in case there's any confusion, that there is a difference between non-immigrant visas, that's student visas, tourist, basically visas that are for people who are just going to be in the U.S. temporarily, and immigrant visas, which are people who are essentially applying for a green card to live in the United States. And immigrant visas for several weeks now have had to present proof of vaccination against COVID-19, which is the same way that they require several other medical requirements in order to apply as an immigrant to the United States. So I just wanted to make that distinction and clarify the difference between non-immigrant visas, which is what we're usually talking about when we talk about visas in the Bahamas, that the vast majority of visa applicants in the Bahamas are either students or tourists, mm-hmm. other temporary visitors. So just wanted to make that distinction in case there was any confusion from people out there being like, well, I'm an immigrant visa applicant. They told me that I'd... That's different than the vast majority of travelers that we're talking about.
Okay, one more question before we go to a break.
Sure.
This is actually a really good question.
All right.
Do these rules apply to people entering the United States by sea?
So the CBP has published rules on their website. They published them over the weekend, actually, on October 30th, that apply to ferry passengers and land boarders. And I don't want to sort of get into those details at the moment because they're a little bit different than the requirements that apply to air travelers. But essentially, you do have to present proof of vaccination if you're entering the United States by sea. For example, via the ferry that goes to, Florida, from Grand Bahama. And for small private craft, ultimately, it's the responsibility, just like with commercial air travel, it's the responsibility of the airline to enforce these rules per the CDC. It's the responsibility of the operators of any other craft, whether it's a private plane, private boat, whatever it might be, to follow these requirements. And if you happen to have your own private jet or private boat, lucky you.
Congratulations.
You should check in directly with CBP and the CDC to make sure that you're meeting all of their requirements, both for immigration and for these new requirements to enter the United States.
Okay. This says, good afternoon. I heard the representative from the U.S. say there's a backup on visa appointments. Would there be a consideration for persons who travel to the U.S. with a police record, seeing there's a backup? Yeah, you do that now.
Correct. Yeah, there's no backlog when it comes to people who are traveling through the pre-clearance facility. The backlog that we're currently working our way through is simply the visa appointment backlog. But if you qualify for visa-free travel through pre-clearance, you can take advantage of that now. You still will have to meet this vaccination and testing requirement. And like I said before, that's not the responsibility of the CBP officers. That's the responsibility of the airline.
Absolutely. Okay, let's do one more call, and then we really, really do got to take a break.
you keep promising me a break.
I know. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan. Good afternoon to you and your guests.
Hey.
I just have a quick question. It doesn't have to do anything with the vaccination, but has to do with traveling to the U.S.
Mm.
I hope that he can answer.
I'll do my best.
Okay. If I'm in possession of a United States visa,
mm-hmm.
and I'm traveling, and I get in some trouble in my country, small matter, as a pendant, but it's not on my criminal record, and I present myself to travel, how is it that the U.S. Customs and Border Protection would have knowledge of my, let's say, stealing, for instance, how would you have that information in your system if I've not been convicted and I'm out waiting the conclusion of this matter, but you can bring it up and ask me about it, and it's no conviction, not on my record or nothing. I'm still presumed innocent until proven guilty. I'm trying to figure out how, and the Bahamian system and the U.S. system isn't combined or integrated. So how does that come about? How does that stop me from traveling when I'm still presumed innocent until proven guilty and I still have access to my visa?
Are you saying that happened to you?
It happened to someone who traveled with me.
Oh, okay. Mm.
I'm afraid I can't really speak to those kinds of specific travel questions. All I can say is that both the visa officers on the visa line as well as the officers at the airport, their responsibility is to enforce the laws and regulations to the best of their ability and to ensure that folks entering the United States meet all the requirements to do so when it comes to customs and immigration, and they do so with the utmost standards of professionalism and customer service, and that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, they don't have to sometimes enforce the rules and that's really all I can say.
Okay, give him the website that people can send visa questions to.
Sure. If you have a question about visas, you can email visanasa@state.gov.
All right, that's a very diplomatic answer, even though I didn't answer the question, but thank you for trying.
I do my best. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, man.
Have a good one.
All right, we got to take a break. And we'll be back on the other side. Stay tuned.
Banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank, Bank the way you want.
CG Atlantic Agents, how may I help you?
Yes, I want to know where to go to get third-party motor insurance.
Are you sitting down?
Yes.
Okay, could you put your feet up?
Okay.
Great. Just go to cgatlanticagents.com, where you can get a quote and buy your insurance online.
Relax. Now you can buy third-party motor insurance wherever and whenever you want. It's as easy as click, quote, buy. CG Atlantic Agents. Good like that. Nassau Insurance Brokers and Agents Limited. Trading as CG Atlantic Agents.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S.C., 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 J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Wendy's and Coca-Cola are back
with $45,000 worth of upgrades for you.
Upgrade your premium lunch combo to a large or purchase a large salad and a Coke product and get your scratch card for a chance to win thousands of prizes instantly. You can win a PlayStation 5, plane tickets with spending money, weekend hotel stays, an iMac, iPads, iPhone 13s, tool sets, washer and dryer sets, and thousands more prizes. Visit Wendy's Facebook page for more details on the Upgrade My Life promotion. Rules and restrictions apply.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We're speaking with Daniel Durazzo from the U.S. Embassy in Nassau. He is the press liaison officer. He's not the chief consular officer. He's not the chargé. He's
definitely not
press liaison officer, and he's here to explain to us the new rules that are coming into effect November 8th for entry into the United States. And we'll bottom line it for you before we get out of here, but let's go ahead and do some more questions for Mr. Durazzo. This says, if you live in the United States with your wife, but you need to travel, you need to return to the U.S. where you live, but you need to travel to the Bahamas, can you return to the U.S. where you live without vaccination?
If you are a legal permanent resident, if you have a green card and you are actually a resident of the United States or a citizen of the United States and you happen to not be vaccinated, yes, you can still re-enter the U.S. after going abroad. But if you're not vaccinated, you will have to take a COVID test, present a negative COVID test taken within 1 day of entering the U.S. So the restrictions, even for U.S. citizens and LPRs, are tightening a little bit after November 8th.
Now,
One thing I also, I don't think I had clarified and that I wanted to touch on before we moved on is a rapid antigen test will fulfill the requirement. You don't have to get a PCR test in order to meet either the 3-day test requirement or the 1-day test requirement. Rapid antigen is fine.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay.
Also wanted to thank you for pronouncing my name correctly, by the way. Not everybody pulls that off.
All right, this we got a caller on the line. Let's do this. But before we go to the caller, I have you here, caller. But before we do that, this vaccination requirement also applies to non-U.S. citizens who are on work visas as well, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan. Can you hear me?
I can. Yes.
Good afternoon.
Can you ask the gentleman, or is he listening?
He can hear you.
I'm listening.
I have had for quite some time a visa waiver. I still carry my British passport, and I didn't apply for it, but a friend of mine, she applied for it. And apparently you go into ESTA, There is a friend of mine who he's Scottish, and same thing with husband, and apparently they have them all the time. The first one I had, I didn't have to get it for 3 years, but then they changed things, so it's like a yearly thing right now. And I'm just wondering if, I mean, I haven't had one for a couple of years because of the COVID, but I'm just wondering that if I apply for it, are you still honoring them, or would I have to get a full US visa to go in my passport?
I believe that ESTA is still fully functional, and that you can apply for an ESTA if you're a British citizen, the same as you could before COVID, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, so I wouldn't have a problem, because any time that I've gone to the States, I always carry my, the paper that I get from you guys, and I always carry it with me, and I don't have any problem, coming out of the Bahamas to go into the States or whatever. So if I do apply again, I'm going to Esther, and I should be okay.
I believe so. And if you really want to double check, as I've said so far, and as Juan reminded everybody, I'm not a consular officer. I'm not 100% versed in all of the details. So if you really want to just, remove all doubt, write to visanassau@state.gov.
Okay. You too.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. This, I don't know if you can feel this one, but maybe you can.
Gee, you're scaring me again, Juan.
No, it's fine. I wish I had more time, man. I want to talk to you about the TSA pre-check thing and the pre-clearance in Grand Bahama. We'll talk about that another day.
Sure.
Good day. Please comment. I have to attend hospital in the USA with a child. Mm. Hospital still requires 7-day quarantine, as according to them, AstraZeneca is not fully approved by the FDA. I am fully vaccinated.
Mm. That's a good question, and I think that sort of draws this distinction between the requirement for traveling to the U.S. and the specific requirements that individual states or individual institutions and hospitals might follow based on their particular requirements. And I'm afraid that there's nothing that the U.S. Embassy can do about that. If a particular institution is requiring a certain, a period of quarantine or whatever because of your particular vaccination status, I'm afraid there's nothing we can do about that. But I can clarify again that the AstraZeneca vaccine does meet the requirement for simply entering the United States after November 8th.
You know, you make a good point when you say that, and you raise some interesting questions. So, for instance, if some universities are requiring that you be fully vaccinated, so you can get your visa, your student visa, through the embassy, you can enter the United States if you've gotten AstraZeneca, but does that mean you can attend that university?
Yeah, and that's one of the ways in which the U.S. system often is different than the way it works in a lot of other parts of the world, in that there's all these sort of different layers of authority. You have the federal government, you have state governments, you have local governments, you have individual institutions that have specific requirements, and that's where, unfortunately, people these days just really have to do their homework and follow up and call the relevant authority in question and just ask them to be as specific as possible about what are the requirements that they need in order to go to school or to do whatever it is that they're going to be doing. But when it comes to entering the United States, AstraZeneca and mix and match are both okay.
Okay. I got it. Well, I could probably answer this one for you. The last time I traveled, customs border officer told me my 4-year-old required a U.S. visa to travel. Is this info correct? Last I checked, I believe kids 14 and under didn't need visas or police records. Is that right?
I think that this is another question where, instead of speaking out of turn, I'll just refer people to visanassau@state.gov. Right. We do have a page on our website. I believe it's bs.usembassy.gov/preclearance, which will have the most updated requirements for preclearance travel to the United States.
Good. Well, I know my kids have traveled. My son has traveled to the United States, and he didn't need a visa. Mm. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
McCartney.
Hi.
How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
Beautiful. And to your guest, I'm a little baffled. Your last caller, or the one before the last gentleman,
yes.
Did he say that he had a visa? He has an ongoing matter in our courts. The matter is still ongoing. No, nothing was on his record, but he was denied entrance into the U.S. Is that what he said?
He said someone traveling with him, that's the case.
Right. That is what he said?
Yes.
And the gentleman can answer that?
No, he didn't explain that situation, he said.
And we don't know who he needs to speak with, because I find that to be amazing that it's not on his record, but he was denied entrance into the great United States.
Right. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Like,
yes, sir.
I don't know the veracity of that claim and all the particulars surrounding it. That's what he says. But we gave him Mr. DeRozzo gave him the email.
Yes.
To
okay.
go to ask about it.
And I will say that I think
hello?
Just, yes, hello. I was just going
yes,
to say
sir. I have another question.
Oh, sure, go ahead.
Okay, sorry for cutting you off.
That's all right.
I also feel as if I know you have your rules, and I know that your United States, that's a place where, well, you have it's the United States, but I feel as if it's somewhat discriminating against outsiders, persons who are not U.S. citizens, as it relates to these new rules. Because here it is, we have many of your people there in the U.S. who refuse to take the vaccine. Is it a precedent that we need to write to rethink this decision, sir? Thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. McCartney.
Okay. Like I said, CDC, all right? Dr. Rochelle Walensky, I believe, is who you would need to direct that to. We got one thing that I can answer that's not really a you question,
sure.
And then we'll briefly go through the requirement. Good afternoon. I'm fully vaccinated and travel to the United States. Test negative to go. Take a PCR test. It's positive to return, but I'm asymptomatic. Want to travel home? Do I have to stay in the United States until I'm negative? You're not getting back into the Bahamas without a negative test, okay? So if you tested positive for a PCR test, which would mean you would test positive for an antigen test, even if you're a Bahamian, they're not going to let you in. Okay? You got to have a negative test. So, yeah. Okay. Briefly,
because
we only got a minute left,
yep.
Tell us the requirement again, please.
Sure. One more time from the top. If you are a Bahamian citizen, you're not a U.S. citizen, you're not a legal permanent resident of the United States, starting at 12:01, just after midnight on November 8th, you will need to present evidence of full vaccination in addition to a negative COVID test taken within 3 days of travel in order to enter the United States. That's the basic rule. This rule will be applied just like it has been so far with testing. This rule will be enforced by the airlines. They're going to be the ones who are verifying vaccination status and testing status. And if you have any doubts before travel, call your airline, double check with them. And you can also carefully read all the details at travel.state.gov. You'll see a big red banner on the top that says COVID-19 travel requirements. And you can also go to cdc.gov and look at all the detailed requirements there as well.
Excellent. Daniel DeRozzo, U.S. Embassy, thank you for joining us today. You shed a lot of light on these issues. Bottom line, you want to go to the United States, you got to get vaccinated, okay, if you're grown, as of November 8th. So, you know, that's up to you. You don't got to go. But if you want to, you got to get vaccinated. Okay, that's it for the show today. Thanks so much.
Juan, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. You guys take care out there. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow, and we'll talk about some more current affairs. That's it. Have a good afternoon, Bahamas.
Thank you, Juan.